So I'm researching this next guest of ours, and I send a message to my team saying John Wineland is going to be on our podcast. And like my CMO and my COO were like, oh my God, we love John Wineland. And I'm like, oh man, this is great. Awesome. And I can already tell your energy already.
Thank you.
This is going to be a wonderful conversation. So welcome. Welcome
to Higher Self. Yeah, thank you, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Let me ask you this question. In 30 seconds or less, if somebody is listening to this right now, why do you think this is going to be an important conversation for them?
Well, I think getting into the idea of what it means to take intimacy into a sacred space is important for everybody.
Yeah.
I also think for men, I work with a lot of men, and I think that men are seeking pathways to depth. So hopefully we'll touch on both of those things, you know, today. And I think that those are usually pretty valuable, you know, places to go for people.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. When you talk about, you know, intimacy, I have found in my life that whatever you tend to like be passionate about or, you know, good at, for lack of better terms, it's because at one time in life, you kind of sucked at it.
Yeah.
So I guess, how did that start for you?
Yeah, I sucked at it.
Yeah, right?
I sucked at
it.
You
see what I mean?
Yeah, no. I came from a divorced family. I think my dad had 4 marriages. My mom had 3 marriages. You know, my sisters and I, you know, kind of navigated life, you know, in the 70s and 80s in Los Angeles and made our own way. And you know, I found myself... married in my 30s with a kid and a little white picket fence and miserable in a marriage and unable to make my wife happy and unable to be happy. And just, and so, yeah, I got out of that and I realized like, wow, I don't really know how to be happy. I wasn't really even happy. It was more, it wasn't even in integrity. Right? It wasn't even fulfilled. It wasn't even nourished. It was like all of those things. Like I did not know how to do it. I just did not know how to do life.
I know.
Even though if you looked at me, it would be like, oh, dude's in a community and he's a leader of that community. And it would seem like I did. And so, yeah, I did not know especially how to do a relationship. And so when my marriage ended, I just started to research all of the relationship experts and personal development. This was in 2005, I guess. And I started to research it and I found Tony Robbins. I was like the dude that was up at 2 a.m. and bought a Tony Robbins infomercial product and ended up going to one of his things and found that. And then he actually led me to a man named David Data, who became my teacher.
David Data.
For many years. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The way of the superior.
Yeah, way of the superior man and Blue Truth and really is kind of I think the most renowned voice in sacred intimacy and spiritual intimacy in the world. And I studied with David for many years and then ended up assisting him and then eventually co-teaching with him. And now we kind of are on our separate paths, but it was a long, long training. Yeah.
So I want to dive into this because, you know, some of our most popular content on socials has to do around, man, I'm going to say just the disconnectedness between like relationship between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
I want to say that it's like, I feel as though, you know, you're mirroring back to me, like my relationship experience as well.
Yeah.
And I say that because, you know, on the outside, I looked like I had it all figured out, but on the inside, I was miserable.
Yeah.
I was miserable. I wasn't, you know, reflecting back on that time in my life. I was not in my truth. I wasn't in my masculine energy. I was so afraid, to confront, so afraid to speak up, so afraid to like, to honor what I was feeling inside, you know? And I want to talk about that because I feel like a lot of men and women are in that space where like they're doing this thing called relationship,
right?
But they don't kind of know how to do it. So like, where do we start?
Yeah. Well, I think we realize that. Right? Like that we want, you know, I work with a lot of couples. I teach workshops all around the world. I see couples want to love each other well. I have two people who want to treat each other well, want to be in a healthy, beautiful dynamic, want to have juice, you know, And they just haven't learned how, right? Because, you know, especially, you know, people in our generation, I'm a little older than you, I think, but we come from parents that were largely divorced, you know? And so, and if they did stay together, there was, you know, often emotional dysfunction and, you know, I mean, so we did not have good modeling for how to relate. And I think just knowing that, like, oh shit, the most important thing, one of the most important things in our adult lives is love and relationship for most people. And yet we had very little training, and the training we have had actually takes us in the wrong direction. So that's where I would start.
Give me an example.
Well, I think the tendency to place attraction on superficiality, right? And I mean, and of course, this is supported by social media and advertising and all of this stuff that's sort of grown over the last 50, 60, 70 years about just how great we look, and how, for men and women, right? Like what are my abs like? And, you know, and how are my hip to waist ratios and all of the stuff that people obsess about in order to be loved, right? I mean, this is like why most of us are doing it. We just don't actually acknowledge that, right? So we love ourselves, and so that other people will love us. And the truth of the matter is that being loved and being attractive has such so much deeper than that, and so much more sustainable than that, that it doesn't act, that it allows for longevity. It allows for transformation of bodies, because women get pregnant and men get older and all kinds of things happen. And so this magnetism that we can cultivate, that we all have, which, you know, David called sexual polarity, right? This magnetism is the real burner of attraction. Mm-hmm. And once we've realized that we have that capacity to turn up our magnet, so to speak, right? I mean, and just to give a little definition, like if you think of a masculine pole as one magnetic pole and a feminine pole, and this doesn't matter about gender. It's gonna be two men, two right. women, you know, a yak and a, you know, something. I mean, it can be anything. And you start to turn up the magnet of each person's polarity, and that arc gets stronger. And it's very little to do with physicality. It's much more to do with energetics. Energy. Yeah. It's much
You're
more to do
so
with energetics.
Spot on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to share two stories, or two comments that came to me. Number one, my entire life, I lived a world of deep shame around my body.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize that until I realized how much I obsessed over my body, how much I would look in the mirror, how much I needed to step on the scale, how much I needed to wear a wearable to count my steps, how much I needed to count my calories. I was in a trap, a mental trap around all things my body.
Yeah.
And what I uncovered was that underneath it all was I was essentially seeking validation, love, admiration, and respect from the outside world.
Hmm.
And the way that would show up in my partnership and in my relationship was, in essence, when you're living that life, which I believe 90% of us are living right now without knowing it, you can't possibly be connected to the truth of who you are.
Hmm.
Therefore, you can't possibly allow someone to see you for who you are and love you for who you are because you're not okay with it yet. And when I finally understood that, and I finally, like, I remember Jen, my fiance, who is this, you'll meet her, this 5'10", like blonde, beautiful goddess, right? There were so many moments in our relationship where I literally would think like, what are you doing with me? And why do you love me? And like, you know, my body would get inflamed because we were traveling or whatever. My belly would grow larger, and it's subconsciously, she's not going to like me. She's not. And I feel her love me regardless of any of it. And it's like something happens inside of yourself where you finally feel like, fuck, man, I could be me. And it's a beautiful feeling.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Attraction is an inside job, right? And we actually have a lot where we're a lot more empowered to become attractive in any moment than we know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of my lesson in this work was like just realizing like, oh, my breath and my groundedness and my lower body has more to me being trustable and attractive to a feminine being than exactly how I'm looking that day. And it's a very empowering, life-changing experience when you actually see it in workshops. You see it, I see it all the time in workshops I lead, and I've seen it obviously in my life. And so that's a big piece of what I'm trying to teach men and women, right? Like that there's a, that, you know, that attraction, desire, all those things, we actually have a lot more power over than we think. And a lot more, now the trick is, how do you use that power, right? Like how do men use presence and, you know, grounded depth, right? Men can use presence in order to seduce a woman. Women can use radiance and energy to seduce a man. But the idea of sacred intimacy is that those things are cultivated as gifts for a chosen partner, or, you know, partners, if that's how you want to play. Sure. And there's consciousness and love at the foundation of it.
I'm loving this conversation. And the second thing I want to bring up is that I don't know that I've ever shared this, but I'd love your take on this, because it's so true. What you said is the energy and like dialing up the masculine and like dialing up the feminine and the polarity that is created.
Yeah.
I remember a moment where, you know, I hope she doesn't get mad. She won't, but you know, we were being intimate.
Mm.
And I remember like looking at her and like being so attracted to her.
Mm.
And I remember having this thought. It was a download. And it was this thought that like God literally made the woman to look and have curves and you know, the hair, like, you know, when she lets her hair down, it's like he literally made the woman to captivate us as the men in our, because we're visual, right? Right? To like draw out this energy of desire from us, right?
Right.
And like we're in the middle of making love, and I'm literally like, holy shit.
Mm.
Like you were literally created to cause this reaction in me. And like I want to take you and make you mine.
Mm.
And when I remember that, because that was like, it was a moment where she fucking like, she just dropped in and like let it all, like she just let go. And I stepped in, and as I speak a lot about this at our events, because it's what's missing.
Mm.
It's what's missing. It's like, we're so disconnected from the energy of what we really are. Like as a man, to step into that power and, you know, for the lack of better words, like go back to the caveman days and like, and take. And it's kind of wild, but when you do that, the woman will happily be taken.
Yeah, if she feels your heart.
If she feels,
if she doesn't, man, then it's abuse, right? But if she does, if there's love at the core of it, then that is a gift, as you described, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, the way that I describe that is evocation. Like we're always evoking from our partners, right? And oftentimes we're evoking unconsciously. Like, let's say you're in your head, you come home and you're kind of grindy and you're on your phone, you are likely evoking tension in her without even really knowing it, right? And then she has a response and she gets tight and she gets kind of closed down, and then she's likely evoking. And so we get in these evocation cycles with each other that are often habitual and unconscious. But when we flip that, like you were talking about, her openness and radiance and beauty evoked your fierce love, which then evoked more surrender from her. And then you were in this really juicy experience. Yeah.
It was this animalistic. That's what it was. I literally, okay, I'm just going to say it. It felt like you're here to please me. You're here for me to take you. And it was this fucking beautiful like dance where she perfectly wanted to.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Yeah.
There was also
the
beauty
love.
Of love.
Yeah, deep love. Yeah.
Deep love.
Yeah.
So if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know that I'm a strong believer and advocate for plant medicine and its ability to awaken and heal the mind, body, and soul. It's a belief that is deeply rooted in my own personal experience with both ayahuasca and psilocybin mushrooms. And many of you for years have always asked me, you know, Danny, where do I go? Who can I trust? And there is only one place I would ever recommend or put my name behind, and that is Reunion. Reunion is a place where you could set yourself free from whatever is holding you back from living the life of your dreams. It's a beachfront, beautiful property that is in Costa Rica. And what I love about it is that it's not for profit. And this is the only thing that they focus on is the preservation and the safe utilization of these beautiful, wonderful medicines. And I only feel comfortable putting my name behind it because I am personal friends and have journeyed with some of the members of the facilitating team. Guys, I'm honored to have aligned myself with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. It's a fund whose purpose is in helping people who don't have the means to experience these medicines and yet have the desire to. And every time one of you books a retreat with Reunion, $100 from every booking is going to go into this fund, and we will be sharing this money with people on a monthly and bi-monthly basis. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when you go to register to experience your own life transformational journey. To find out more, go to reunionexperience.org and get ready.
What I notice for a lot of women is that they're more and more, as they're coming out of sort of the, you know, the kind of conflict of feminism, right? That they can both be super professional, powerful moguls in the world, and then kind of own the part of them that wants to be taken. Now, not all women want this, not all human, but there are so many that want to have that experience of being owned in love, from love, right? Mm-hmm. From primal deep desire, primal deep love. Mm-hmm. It's a very nourishing experience for many of the women that I work with. And if they don't get it, if that nutrient, let's call it, is missing in a relationship, they start to feel malnourished. Mm-hmm. They'll start to feel malnourished. Just like if the opposite, right? Like if her, you know, sort of radiant surrender is missing and everything's kind of always tight and locked down and superficial, especially sexually, you'll start to feel like there's a malnourishment happening in your body and in your heart. And so I like to talk about these things in ways of like we're nourishing each other's souls. Mm-hmm. With the wide range of sexual expression, right? And one of the things that I always say to my partner is like, look, I am a stand for your full sexual expression, whatever wants to come out. You know, you want to draw some blood, let's go, right? You want to you want to slap me around, you want let's go. And it always evokes just a deeper and deeper experience with us. And hopefully that will continue forever.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
It's one of the common questions we get. It's one of the common questions we get from women nowadays is like, how do I balance like that masculine energy, that energy that I have to go out and like produce and to like be successful in the business world, but also like drop into my feminine, right? Yeah. And you know, unfortunately what I see, I just see it a lot in the comments is that women have this sense, not all women, but you know, some women have this sense of like anger towards men. Mm. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
I see it. It's like, you know, comments like, well, where are all the good men? Or like men nowadays are little bitches or, you know, whatever. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, like you're kind of like creating the problem, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, for the woman that's listening right now, how does she do that?
Yeah.
How does she work on that?
Yeah.
That balance within her.
Yeah. Well, you could also say too, just to round it out, right? You know, men have spent 50 years like getting in touch with their feelings and getting into flow and going to Burning Man and, you know what I mean? And really accessing their feminine in the same way that women have spent accessing their masculine. Mm-hmm. So the same question could be, you know, offered to a man. How does he come out of like deep feeling and emotion and bring that into the structure and depth and groundedness of his masculine essence, right? Mm-hmm. And so the answer for me, anybody who knows me, is practice. Mm. That this is like this is a yoga. This is a meditative, embodied, yogic practice to be able to shed the shape, let's call it, of masculine doing that many women have to live in. Right, even mothers, if you ask a mother of four, like she's holding the shit together, right?
Right.
And to sort of hold that shape of masculine doing and then to transition into devotional love, right? And the feminine in all of us is really just the expression of energy. Doesn't all have to be sweet, Hallmarky kind of love. It's just what the feminine at its essence is the expression of energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be sweet, sticky love energy. It could be, you know, crazy Kali energy. It could be everything in between. It can be dark and slutty. It can be angelic and devotional. It can be all the things. And so the agility to move between the realms, the how many trillions and trillions of forms of energy are there in the universe, that is feminine practice. And so that's part of, you know, the work that I do in my workshops. I have my partner and many women are running these workshops now to teach women how to be the full expression of energy that is in alignment with the truth of their heart, right? And those sort of things. So I don't want women to feel like, oh, I've got to be more feminine in order to be loved or be attractive. It's really just like, how do I learn to be in full expression of all that is?
Mm.
Right? How do I learn to be in full expression of all that is? Because I see men get just as turned on and inspired by a woman's heartfelt rage as they do by her seductive, you know, tenderness. It's crave your energy. Yeah. It feeds us, it nourishes us. And so I would tell a woman who's having that question, like it's a practice, like learning to play piano, like learning to play tennis, you know, you practice it, you get good at it, you work on it every day and you'll see pretty immediate results.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm curious about something. I read somewhere that you spent 20 years or something in some sort of Buddhist.
Oh yeah. More like I've been a Buddhist since I was 7. So I've been like, you know, almost 40 some odd years. Yeah.
Let's dive into that. Yeah. Like what? Yeah. Just talk to me about
that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a choice. My mom pulled us out of Catholic school and said, we're Buddhist now. And so, you know, and I learned quite early about, you know, about practice, you know, Buddhist practice and chanting. And I still practice virtually every day and I've become less of a, whereas at that point in my life, I was part of an organization of Buddhists, right, that my mom was part of. As my life went on, I kind of took from a little from Tibetan Buddhism and a little from Japanese Buddhism and a little from Zen Buddhism. And I've kind of developed my own practice and belief around different forms of Buddhism. And I have my own thing that I do daily. And it's just become sort of a foundation of my spiritual practice.
I'm fascinated by this. And I, you know, if you're out there listening, hang with me here, because what, you know, when it comes to, you know, religious or spiritual beliefs, immediately the mind will go, it's only this way.
Yeah.
But I think part of the journey of connecting into our feelings and allowing, right, is allowing ourselves to listen to different conversations. Mm-hmm. Because when we are rigid in our beliefs, we're going to be rigid in our bodies, and when we're rigid in our bodies, we're going to be rigid in our connection with other people and their bodies.
Yeah.
So I think there's something here, right? So my question is, you know, immediately when you come up in the, you know, religious beliefs that I was, I was Catholic, mm-hmm. and then I graduated to the big leagues. Mm. I went Christian,
right?
Because that's like the progression, right? And then, you know, I found my own true spirituality.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I no longer needed a church, a book, a leader, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when you talk to me about Buddhism, it's like, I get fascinated, right? Mm. I want to learn more.
Yeah.
But maybe somebody out there is listening. They're like, wait a minute, hang on. This is kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. Like you might picture like some guy in weird clothing and like homing and like, what is Buddhism? What is it?
Well, there's so many different forms, right? Just like there's so many different forms of Christianity, right?
Yeah.
And But the form that I learned and that I primarily espouse is that we are all Buddha in nature, right? And that in our internal truth is of universal truth, right? And the mystic law, which is, you know, what we would call God, right? The mystic law has both a latent, meaning an unchanging and infinite peace, and manifest, meaning everything that is, right? And you put those two things together, it's kind of like a yin-yang symbol. You've got the emptiness and the fullness all happening together, and that the mystic law is that. So it's kind of masculine and feminine, right?
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so that's how it relates to me. And when I chant, I'm basically fusing my existence with the existence of the mystic law, which is the emptiness and fullness of all that is. And I do that ritualistically most mornings, not every morning, but most mornings and some evenings when I'm feeling inspired. And it just connects me to the cosmos.
To the cosmos.
Yeah, it feels great. You know, and so I'm no longer part of an organized group, and it's just very personal, and it's very much a way for me to remember that the vastness of the universe is mirrored by the internal vastness that is just any human being.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes me grounds me, it makes me more pleasant, it makes me easier to relate with, it helps me to, you know, to just feel my place in the universe, and yeah, I love it.
I love that. I know that you work with a lot of men.
Yeah.
What are one of the things that you see in men right now that could use, you know, more understanding, more support, more acknowledgement from women.
Yeah.
I think our audience is 75% women.
Yeah,
so,
mine too.
So for the women that are listening, right, you know, when you're thinking of not only your current partner or, you know, your potential future partner, like what can women do to help support men more, acknowledge men more, uplift men more?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a great question, man. I think the first thing that I notice, and this is just what I notice, and these are the men that come to me, and so it's not all men, but it's a large, you know, it grows every year, is that men want to love well. Men want to be deeper, more in integrity, clearer. You know, they want to be good, right? They want to be good men. And so, I mean, they wouldn't come to my programs, which are not cheap, or, you know, workshops, you know, to do stuff if they did not have that, like, very sincere impulse to love well. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first thing I would tell women out there. There's a lot of guys who want to love well. They just, like we said at the beginning, haven't had a model or learned what that actually is. And so one of the things, if you think about it, right, for 99.9% of human existence, the feminine women in general have been in the relational field, have been practicing in the feminine, in this relational field of, you know, taking care of the children and tending to magic and doing ritual out in nature and being beautiful witches and sorceresses. And like, women lived in that world way more than men did for almost all of history. Right. Men are now waking up and going, whoa, wait a minute, like, relationship is important, right? It's not all about warring and accumulation and winning and wealth, and it's about, like, love, right?
Sure.
Men are waking up to that. But for 50 fucking years only. So you think about it, we are so far behind, y'all,
right,
talking to women now,
right,
in like learning what it is to relate and like live in flow and live in magic and have the same natural skill sets that y'all have. Mm-hmm. So cut us a little break.
A little patience.
Yes, a little patience.
Yeah.
As we're trying to take our basically more rigid masculine bodies and catch up. Because really we want to. You know, so many men that I work with like want to develop capacity to feel more, right? Women have been feeling more for over 100,000 years, men have been feeling less so that they can kill.
That's right.
For most of the time. So they can kill, so they can accumulate, so they can, you know what I mean?
Provide.
Yeah. So we've actually shut down our feelings for most of history. It's been different in the last 50, 60 years, but for most of history, we've been shutting down our feelings. Now we want to feel more. And it's going to take a few hundred years of training to catch up with y'all.
Hey guys, before you continue listening, I wanted to introduce you to the sponsor of this episode, Athletic Greens. I decided to give AG1 a try because I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great, boosts my energy, and supports my immune system. Especially for someone like myself that fasts all day, I take it in the morning before starting my day, and it makes me feel incredible. It makes me feel like I'm doing something good for my body. It also helps me save an enormous amount of time, and it makes my life so much easier with just one scoop in the morning. So it makes it a very seamless and easy daily habit for me. Just one serving of this stuff, AG1, supports my long-term gut health. It has 75 high-quality vitamins in it, minerals, and whole food source ingredients. So if you're looking for a simple and cost-effective supplement routine, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of their vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So just go to athleticgreens.com/Danny. That's athleticgreens.com/Danny and go check it out today. And I want to say something. I want to say two things to the women that are listening right now. Have grace on these men, because there's two types of men, right? There's the man that wants to feel more, and the man that is going to workshops, and the man that is like coming to awaken, and the man that is going to sit with ayahuasca, and the man that is like doing this work. And then there's the man that is fighting all of it. And he's fighting all of it. It's not because he doesn't want to. It's because he is fighting to defend and protect everything he knows about how to live life.
Yeah.
Like you have to truly understand that, right? The mind is just saying, that stuff is weird.
Yeah.
You know, all this feeling and emotion stuff is weird. My dad taught me that if I was to ever feel my emotions, I was a little girl, so no way am I ever going to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes what it takes for a man, because this is what it took for me, is some sort of major life catastrophe.
Yeah.
You know, a parent dies. Yeah. You know, you lose a business or a job.
Yeah.
You lose a relationship. You lose the love of your life. Sometimes for a man, it takes you literally being forced onto your knees into an act of surrender, where you reach out to God and say, okay, my way is not working, right? So there's something that I definitely have to change. And so for the women out there, understand that if you're hearing this conversation, you're hearing, I don't know your story, but probably two men who had to go through that situation to finally like give in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, pray for your man,
you
know, and give him space and honor him. And quite frankly, visualize him. Visualize him being the kind of man that is connected to your heart.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. And that was definitely my experience. You know, I was blessed with a daughter who had special needs and was born with a pretty unique illness. And so throughout her life, we were in the hospital all the time, and we knew she wasn't going to live past, you know, her early 20s. And that like existence of like dealing with her terminal illness for a long time. She died in 2018, but part of like that's what made, I couldn't not feel, I would have died. I would have put a fucking gun in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, and so I literally had to find men that I could like break down with, and I had to learn how to feel. And then I had to learn how to share my feelings with my partners, so that I could, you know, I couldn't just leave them out. And so just exactly like you said, life made me have to do, you know, do the work that I do now in order to survive. Mm. And I think that, you know, you're right. A lot of guys that come to me, you know, come to my men's programs have had that sort of either divorce or, you know, loss of family or infidelity or something truly heartbreaking. And they're like, oh shit, you know, God is making it really clear. I need to change.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's the impulse to just provide and to win and to do the things that we've been taught to do and are still taught to do, still taught to do. It's not like, you know, mainstream has changed on what a man should do. It's very strong, man. Very strong.
And secondly, you know, I think that when you have a following and, you know, you host events and you host seminars or whatever, like you are looked at from this perspective of you got it all figured out. And I want to let you guys all know I speak for myself.
Just ask my girlfriend.
I absolutely do not have it all figured out. And I'm going to share something. At this last Awaken, I shared a real life experience that I feel like I need to share that was happening between Jen and I. Where what you say is so true, man. It's like, we haven't been taught how to be in relationship. And, you know, here's me, like I'm the guy that's like, you know, sharing this stuff and teaching this stuff. And you're right. I desire to be a good partner. You know, I truly, truly do. And, you know, we're coming on this moment where Jen is like, I don't know. I just feel her a little disconnected, you know? And in my mind, I'm doing everything right. I'm providing the home. I'm going out there and I'm working. Heck, I just bought us another home. Heck, you needed a brand new car. I got you a brand new car. Heck, you wanted to go to Cabo to go get a tan. And I'm taking you to Cabo to go get a tan, right? So in my mind, like, I'm like, I'm doing everything. I'm the world's perfect, like, fiance, right? And we're laying down in bed one night one day and she goes, I feel like I'm not your priority. Wait, what? What are you, don't you see A, B, C, and D? Don't you see everything that I'm doing? And, you know, what she told me in that moment, she's like, yeah, but anybody could do that. Like, what I want is, I want to feel you. I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
And man, I'm going to be honest. Like, in that moment, I thought back to like my previous relationship. And it was one of the issues back then as well. And I had to come to grips with the fact that like, oh my God, like this is a pattern.
Yeah.
It's a pattern that you are reflecting to me. And either I got two choices. Either I get to A, like defend, fight, attack, or B, like sit with it and really process it, you know? And it was a healing moment for me, you know, and I just, I'm saying this so because for all of you listening, understand this is a journey, you know, you don't just wake up one day and have it all figured out.
You're talking about what I call the myth of the good husband, which is this idea, like we were taught, up till recently, like, you know, be a good provider, support her desire in the world, you know, be a good father, be a good partner, you know, all of those things. And then, you know, love will just unfold naturally. Well, women today, that's kind of just the ante, right? Like, yes, yes. Now, like, you know, you've earned my trust to this level. Now for me to trust you to this level, I need to feel your presence. I need to feel your depth. I need to feel your integrity. I need to feel your humor and your capacity to play. I need to feel you understand magic and the flow of magic in love. And, you know, this, so women have rightly raised the ante on us. And so the myth of the good husband no longer plays. And I think a lot of men, just like you, are waking up to that and going, fuck, I thought I was doing everything I needed to do.
I thought I was like doing it right.
And there's this whole other like set of skills that I have to learn. And, you know, that's why I have a job. That's part of the currency now that men are knowing they need to learn.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip it on you now.
Okay.
Because at the beginning of this conversation—
Can I take a drink?
Yeah, absolutely. At the beginning of this conversation, we were talking about something that I don't realize we as human beings understand is so important, which is the energy of where you live. And we were talking, we're both— by the way, I am not saying everybody needs to move out of California or New York. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying be aware. Be aware, right? We were just having a, you know, conversation, getting to know each other about the fact that we're both from LA, from California, And I mentioned something. I said, honest to God, like when I, the plane is flying over and about to land, I feel the vibration.
Yeah.
I feel the energy. And I feel like a lot of human beings, a lot of couples, are unaware of the impact that the frequency and the energy of the place where you live has on your life.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'd love to just wrap with you about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, land itself has its own sort of vibration, has its own history, has its own, carries its own trauma. You know what I mean? Like the stuff that happens on any given land will carry the experience of that land. You know, if you go to places like Scotland or Ireland or even parts of Europe, man, you feel the density and you feel the history there. So yeah, wherever, you know, whatever LA is carrying, something has really shifted there in terms of just, and I love LA, born and raised there, you know, big Dodger fan, Laker fan, like we love the beach, right? But there is something that part of the world is holding for some reason. And I think it's going to happen. There's going to be a cleansing in California, just some sort of energetic shift that happens. But yeah, where you live, is it aligned with what you want to express in the world, right? Is it aligned? And so if you go from different places, you know, we talked about Sedona, which is a place I also have a house, that has a very different frequency than Austin. Than Texas does. Mm-hmm. Both beautiful, but just different, right? This has this really kind of warm hub of, which I think it's coming from the people as well. Sedona's very like awe-inspiring and sharp and so—
The red.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So I think when people are getting more aware that of the relationship with the land in general and getting to, because we can work anywhere, most of us are having this experience. I think we're now in this new relationship with like, oh, what kind of land, what kind of nature, what kind of feminine, right? Do I want to live in Costa Rica? Is it Kauai? Is it, you know, Austin? Is it, you know, some Idaho, you know, wherever it is, we get to choose now for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'll say two things. Number one, you know, when I came here to Austin, it's like if my life took like a 180.
Hmm.
The energy of it just opened up so much for me, you know? And I feel like there's some sort of magic happening here because there's a lot of us coming here, right? Yeah. But secondly, I don't want to get political in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, Jen and I have talked like, if it wasn't for the fact that my boys live here, I don't know that we wouldn't be in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we wouldn't be, you know, in a beautiful Tuscan village. Yeah.
So Portugal,
in like
I hear
Italy,
is very nice.
Tuscany or something like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's a beautiful dance that you get to play with that because I was once so rigid in my beliefs and my thoughts about where I lived.
Hmm.
Like, especially being a New Yorker. Hmm. No, I'm a New Yorker, right? And then being in California, and I can remember this was part of my journey where I was so attached to my house. And through my work with medicine, I realized that home really is wherever your heart is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make home anywhere, it's pretty magic.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be a lot of shifting. What I'm seeing are these communities in Portugal and in Costa Rica and here. And I think it's going to be, you know, Miami has its own sort of community. And so I think people are, again, starting to coalesce around what you call the, you know, kind of a vibrational field.
Yep.
And it's going to be more about, you know, changing, you know, kind of, how would you put it? Kind of growing together as a community, right? Rather than disparate. You know, in a state or a city, right?
City.
There's real communities starting to develop. And I think that's beautiful.
To your point, my friend Simon showed me there's actually seminars going on right now for people who want to create like their own little mini cities.
Mm.
It's like a thing.
Yeah.
It's like a thing.
For sure.
You know, it's.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty awesome.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. Awesome. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And, you know, luckily technology is supporting us in that.
Yeah. Right?
That's one of the beauties of, you know, all bitch about Zoom.
Yeah.
It's really opened up a whole new world for us.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. How do people find out more about you?
JohnWineland.com. Wine like you drink, land like you live on. And I have a whole slew of offerings there. I have what's called a virtual workshop where we're rebranding it to the Embodied Relationship Experience, which is this repository of 10 years of workshops. I film everything. So I put over 1,000 hours of content, all the stuff that I talk about, hundreds of practices that people can do, and they can find me there. And it's cheap and easy and really good way to get into the work if you want.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Thank you, Danny. It's great to talk to you, man.
I appreciate, like, you know, like I told you, Jenna and I are hermits.
Yeah.
Like we stay to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be neighbors here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So
we'll get you out to play a little bit.
For sure. Sounds good. All right, man. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
I hope you watch this one again. There was a wonderful energy about this one. It was there had some depth to it, and we spoke about, you know, a lot of important topics that I know our community craves. So I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week on another episode of The Higher Self. Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Higher Self. If you heard something in this week's episode that caused you to think maybe, just maybe, there was a higher potential for your life, maybe there was a potential to earn and receive financial freedom, to attract the relationship of your dreams, or to improve your health, that's what we specialize in. We help wonderful human beings like yourself to unravel all of the limiting thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you've been living through so that you can finally tap into your life's truest potential. If you'd like to talk more about that, we invite you to join us on Instagram or Facebook and email us the word discover more. And when my team sees that, they will reach out to you, send you the details of how we could help you on your pathway to a life of abundance, fulfillment, and creating the absolute life of your dreams. Message us right now the words discover more now on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll see you soon.